everyone. It's the deputy, Stu Kaufman, here to welcome you to Panning for Comedy Gold. Just a collection of bits and gags that just didn't quite make the cut for our other episodes. There's a bunch of different episodes here. So I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Wait.
Huh?
One of the stars here is White Flash. Who's... Please don't tell me that's the horse. It's the fucking horse. My God.
The horse, of course.
It's Mr. Ed.
Right, now we are recording.
Okay.
Crisis averted.
Oh, it's like you said Christmas averted.
Christmas averted. Thank God. I averted Christmas by rustling cattle.
God, I just remembered I have to recap this thing.
Wait, you could shoot me something else?
Hey, it's how Santa does it, y'all.
I love unnecessary threats like that. I'm going to shoot you with a gun.
With a gun?
It's like,
I saw a great parody of was it something? It's like, they killed him to death.
They killed him to death. He was murdered to death.
Well, it's kind of, Motorhead
by
has a...
Santa.
The poets of our time, Motorhead, have a song called Killed by Death.
That'll do it every time.
Mm-hmm. That could work too. You're either really mad at mom or you're a fucking idiot.
I remember in middle school, like there were kids who were like felt like, oh, I'm so smart. I'm reading Atlas Shrugged, and it's like it's probably pretty might be above your reading level. I don't know. Anything about kids?
I think it is right at their reading level. I just think the people that wrote it never got beyond that era, especially considering that Ayn Rand, you know, like died on government assistance, you know.
Ooh, irony.
And then, you know, in the whole, she was mad at her lover, not her, like, she had many lovers and she was all about being selfish, but then was just beside herself when her lover took a younger lover. Mm. And it's like, well, that's because you don't actually want to practice what you preach. You're just an old asshole.
Okay. All right. I just have to put this out there because I'm looking on my desktop for my notes. And I forgot that I'm helping Stu move a family musical instrument, some kind of organ, from my aunt's house.
Oh, wow.
And I have a notepad document. I was like, what the fuck is this? It just says organ measurements. And I was like, wait, what is that?
But also, let's not forget that powerful politician, that evil powerful politician, was a turtle.
Mitch McConnell.
Like playing lots of golf.
Mm-hmm. Like other bad politicians that we know.
Well, it's most
most all politicians. So it's just get out your geese. All of them. I haven't seen. I haven't seen Bernie on the links.
He seems like more of like a darts or billiards kind of guy.
Yeah, he seems
a game
like
of bocce.
Like I want to say. I was gonna say he's a bocce man. If I had to. Put my money. I bet he bowls on
yes,
the green.
Some,
yeah,
some lawn bowls.
Good. I'm glad we had this talk. Podcast
yep,
over.
We solved it, guys.
Exactly. That's it for cowpunchers. Thank you for listening to this cutting political commentary.
Look at us.
I like your co-host there, the cat.
Yeah, she. I'm worried that she's going to start bumping in. Into the mic here, but
that's okay.
Hi,
she can.
Well, you Ariel,
she can.
You've got proper
host.
Zoom etiquette.
Can I help?
Yeah.
She watched the movie too. She's just like, oh, that's all right. Well, this is
right,
clearly
right.
Hidden Valley, so it's ranch dressing. It's the only reasonable
Boo.
Explanation.
Go to jail.
Boo!
All right, I'll defenestrate myself.
Oh, we did have some opposite of defenestration in this movie where someone was thrown in a window.
Yes.
Which, on text, I told you guys,
yes.
I did some research this week. It is not, as I would love it to be called, refenestration. It is called a defenestration.
Which, that makes perfect sense.
100%. Because they have to be thrown in a window. Defenestration is being thrown out a window. And if you're thrown in a window, it is not refenestration, but a defenestration. Update your thesauruses, y'all.
Yeah,
it's sorry. In there.
Yeah.
Now, if it was refenestration, does that mean you get thrown through the window and then you get thrown back through it again?
You run around and then you go through it again.
Oh, like the one guy. He's just like, go back in there. You know, assert yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, nope, he got refenestrated.
Yes.
Thrown through the same window twice.
See, now I just assume it's the same throw that you get thrown through two windows. I believe that is refenestration.
Hey, any wordsmiths out there want to weigh in?
Yeah. Any wordsmiths like, who are a fan of this very podcast? Yeah.
Yes. Dear listener.
Dear.
Please listen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway.
I have a question regarding, mm-hmm. as an addendum to what we were just talking about in terms of Westerns and, like, what counts and what doesn't, is a riddle, and we don't have to discuss it here, is can you make a movie, set it in the American West in the 19th century, and have it not be a Western? Is that something you can do?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. I think you could.
You know, and this could be because I just watched that limited series about the Mormons on Netflix.
I just watched that too.
Watch that.
It's wild. Crazy. It's wild. But like, I keep thinking of the origin movies about the Mormons. And it's like, that is 19th century West, you know, is that mm-hmm. a Western?
Oh, God.
Or is it a cult movie?
Oh, that is a good question.
Indeed. Indeed.
We're bringing up some big questions after just watching a cartoon.
Yeah.
See, this is what happens when we watch a decent movie. We get off on a weird sidetrack.
As opposed to going down a path of absolute madness.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of refreshing, actually.
Right? Let's talk about pop culture theory. That's interesting to me.
That might be a stretch.
That's a stretch. I don't know that you can that spin might, that into
that might be
Western.
Our April Fool's Day episode.
We got to keep pushing the limits of the genre. You know, like, we really got to explore how far we can go.
Jesus, yeah. What an April Fool's Day. We're just going to watch, like, Phantom of the Opera or something stupid.
He's wearing a hat. It's technically a Western.
Why are we watching Moulin Rouge? It takes place in the 19th century. It's close enough. It's Western Europe.
Shoot. Well, see, now you got something there. So you posited if you set a film or a story in, you know, 1900s or, you know.
Yeah, 19th century
American West. American West. Could it not be a Western somehow?
Correct.
Can you make a Western that's not set in that time period? You know?
I would argue that many of the samurai movies in the vein of Kurosawa are in themselves Westerns, especially if we look at Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely a stranger coming into town, becoming sheriff, and laying down the law. However, you know, did Kurosawa rip off the Westerns, or did the Westerns rip off Kurosawa?
I think the Westerns. I don't know. I'd have to look to see which ones came first.
I mean, we've been making Westerns since, like, the 1890s. I think they also borrowed off each other and one, like, vigorous, like, roll in the hay.
That's graphic.
I don't know. That's why my brain went there. I'm very sorry.
Right.
I was going to also say, I would also say that, you can set a movie in the American West in any other time period and still have it be a Western. Case in point, No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
I'm thinking, like, could you set a movie in a city, modern day, and have it be a Western?
There is an interesting fish out of water story from the 80s that, and it's like kind of Western, kind of Appalachia, kind of fish out of water story, starring Sylvester Stallone and frickin' Dolly Parton.
What?
And it's called Rhinestone.
I already love it.
Yep.
I have it on VHS and I own the soundtrack on vinyl.
We'll put it on the list. We'll discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. This is definitely up there. I can't believe we've gotten to this incredible conversation after watching A Chameleon in a Cowboy Hat.
Yeah.
This podcast is solid gold.
Yeah, but I mean...
Which, Pat, that whole phrase can be changed if you add an exclamation point to the end, because then it sounds like you stubbed your toe all whilst talking. Have a great summer. Jesus Christ!
Oh, man. Like most bumper stickers that I see on semi-trucks, it's like I feel they're always yelling because they're always in all capitals.
Stubbing their toes. Right, something.
Yeah. Jesus Christ!
Bring America back
the
to...
reason for the season! Jesus Christ!
Like,
bring America... Bring America back to conservative values. Jesus Christ!
Yeah. Hence the inspiration for a lot of my creative outlets these days.
God bless you, sir.
What is one I saw? Do you guys remember that skateboard magazine Thrasher?
No.
It was kind of like a subculture magazine. You know, it's skateboarding and punk rock and that kind of stuff. And a very distinctive typeface on it. Well, I saw a bumper sticker, a trucker bumper sticker. They're always white with red block text, but this one had the Thrasher magazine font, and it said, "My God died on the cross for my sins." And reading it, it felt like somebody was doing this. He died for my sins.
Like, I sinned so bad.
Oh,
he
man!
Did it just for me.
I popped an ollie so radical. The Lord came down and said, "All right, you are forgiven, my son."
He shed his blood for my sins. Did you saw that sick ollie and bled immediately.
Oh God!
Oh, that wicked grind, dude.
Man, I don't know enough skater terminology.
Me neither.
You really Tony Hawked it, dude.
Exactly. Tony Hawk, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the show.
Hope you like Westerns.
Hope you like Westerns, man.
Otherwise, it might not be so great.
So, like, I tried to be a skateboard kid in middle school, and I failed so bad at it that I just gave up. But I do know all the terminology because I was so into reading about it. And then I tried to ollie and, like, fell on my face repeatedly. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
After the third or fourth time, you're just like, you know, fuck it.
It's like, I like my ankles in a non-broken state, so.
Yeah. It was more like, hey, you guys like bikes?
Yeah.
Woo.
Sweet. And Jesus ain't coming down for shit on bikes, so whatever. Oh, man. I'm glad we had this diversion.
I know. It's there's like what? Less. It's almost like there's less to talk about when we like the movie. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Everyone should watch Red Sun and then watch Rango, and you're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Guaranteed.
Crack open a few beers. You'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Get yourself some popcorn or a burrito.
Pizza, whatever you like.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, burrito. That does
sound
good.
I've been eating actually a lot of burritos lately, and I'm okay with it.
I just made I just made something like the other thing. Great thing is I made pork loin, roasted pork loin the other day, and I knew I did good when I all right, let me get this on the plate so I can make Becca can do her thing and make gravy with it. So I reached in and it fell apart, and I was like,
Yes.
I've done okay.
Yes. Man. Anyway, what about the saloons?
Pork.
But anyway,
saloons.
Pork.
Pork.
This podcast is now officially about pork.
Anyway, Porkcast.
Here's my recipe for pork ribs.
That's got to be something already. Hold on. I got to Google it.
Podcast director.
I mean, there's the Beef and Dairy Network. Maybe we found another niche here.
You know,
best pork podcasts.
All right, challenge.
The top 15 swine industry podcasts you must follow in 2021.
Oh, I was going to say, challenge, find one that's not about barbecue.
Let's see. The Popular Pig Podcast. The Swine It Podcast Show.
Do we need to have a crossover episode?
The Pastured Pig.
My God.
The Swine Cast.
All right, that definitely beats that Porkcast.
Whoa, guys, we really should try to find the most niche podcast and then offer to do like a guest spot. like we got. It's got to be like, I don't know. Like we're a Western movie podcast. What's the exact opposite of that?
That might be
probably like quilting.
Late 19th century Russian philosophy.
Oh yeah, we could get on that. That'd be great. Yeah, Eastern. Yeah, cerebral.
Yeah, real cerebral.
Sobering.
Like, what's the cerebral thing we can find?
Let's see.
We consume garbage media here.
Right.
Russian Orthodox Christian something.
Monastic, yeah, podcast.
Oh, there's this podcast on illuminated manuscripts.
There we go. There's a winner.
Let's find the top 10 illuminated manuscripts podcast. Be like, have I got a deal for you? Let's watch this Western.
Well, we do have the Art and Spirituality of the Russian Orthodox Tradition podcast.
Email them. What is it called? What is it called?
That's what it's called.
So if you're listening, the Art and Spirituality of the Russian Orthodox Church, is that what it's called?
We'd love.
Yes.
Oh,
love to have you on.
If you're listening, we'd love to do a little exchange here. Love to have you on and talk about, I want to say, Sartana.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll find a Sartana.
Oh, guys. If there's one thing I know, it's how to not grow an audience.
How to make enemies and irritate people.
Oh. And there's a podcast called The Gilmore Guys, where two guys watch The Gilmore Girls.
No, those are the ones we need to have. Yes. That's them right there. I like them. I will gladly go on their show and watch an episode of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, shit.
Why is everybody talking so fast?
Or
what
the
fuck is going
addict
on this town?
Just two buddies talking about pens and pen-adjacent accessories.
This is an incredible rabbit hole.
There's so much more than just fountain versus ballpoint.
Which biscuit do I eat to get out of here? What side of the mushroom?
Oh, that's it. We got to do that.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
We should. What if we made a? What if we branched off this podcast and like every like 6 months. We tried to get a guest spot on the most obscure niche podcast ever.
All right. Okay, next episode we got to come armed with see who can find
the most niche podcast.
I'm into it.
Oh,
I'm into it.
All right, I will accept your challenge.
Yes,
me too. Oh, anyway.
Violet, what are you doing?
He wants something. Okay. Down.
You want an apple teeny?
Yes.
Come here,
buddy. He probably wants a toy. But
that's right. For the first time since this pandemic has begun, we are recording in the same room.
Can you imagine? And now we have my dog making noise in the background.
As opposed to my dog or cat.
Yeah.
So my dog's a big baby and will whine and cry if he can't get something.
I don't even know what he wants right now.
I don't either.
So even if we had the capability of giving him what he wants, we don't know what that is. Anyway.
I believe my dog is a wizard trapped in a dog's body, frustrated by his inability to communicate with the outside world. Anyway, for those familiar, it was basically like Game of Thrones and the Battle for Winterfell the whole time.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, if you watched Game of Thrones, you'd be like, Amy, that was a great and wonderful analogy.
I will never watch that show.
That's probably true. I would not surprise me. You go to your grave.
Exactly.
We'll put it on your tombstone.
Please do not. This man never watched Game of Thrones.
He never watched Game of Thrones.
Never picked up the book.
Completely unaware of the content within.
Exactly. I have avoided these cultural references just to
spite, right, just to spite.
To spite you.
Right? God damn you.
Just so that anyone can bring up Game of Thrones as a...
You can violently say, I've never seen
that, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
No clue. What is a game? What is a throne?
What is this, about the War of the Roses? And then it's described to me like, it's the War of the Roses! You've all been fooled!
I mean, it is. It is.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Starks and the Lannisters, Yorks and the Lancasters.
So, as a amateur historian, I have seen this. I just chose not to watch your version.
you know the historical version.
I know the historical version, so I don't need your fantasy version with dragons.
Well, then you'll know what
whatever.
Happens.
You, I don't care.
You already know what happens. You and, know how it ends.
There's a prince in the tower. Richard III comes in, and he's a hunchback. And I've watched Shakespeare.
You've seen Shakespeare live?
Yes, I have seen Shakespeare live.
At the Apollo?
What? No, in a community performance in southern New Jersey.
I meant the real Shakespeare. Live, doing his stand-up. All right, well, that's gonna get cut.